You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were talking about Joshua and the written word. Now, today's lecture, we'll pick up where we left off from Joshua chapter 23, and we'll close out this book of Joshua. But we'll also return back to the books of Moses. In particular, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 17. And we're going to zero in on the significance of the written word in the account of what took place between Joshua, Moses, and Amalek, the king. And we'll see how that written word was given so that after Joshua and Moses had died and gone on to glory, the people of God would remember what took place. So that years later, when Israel would have a king, and as Moses said in Deuteronomy 17, the king should have a copy of the written word, the king would make sure that he does not forget. Yet we'll look at the account of Saul, how he forgot and he did not listen to the word of God. Now this will take us to Psalm 40, which will lead us to Hebrews 10, which will point us to the only king and the only man who hears all that God says and does it. So we have a lot to talk about today, so let's get started. Now going back to the book of Joshua, we closed at chapter 23 last time, in which Joshua speaks to the people of God before his departure, saying this, 23 verse 6, "Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the Torah of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left." So again, in chapter 23, Joshua is emphasizing the importance of the written word and encouraging and admonishing the people of God to cling to this word, to rejoice in it, to gladly hear it, and to do what it says. So then when we drop down to verse 14, here's where Joshua then says, "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed." Now that's verse 14 in the same chapter. And again, you can testify this to what Moses wrote in his books of what the Lord declared. And the people know that as the Lord promised, the Lord has fulfilled. And so Joshua again is extending to the people of God this written testimony of what God has said and what God has done and what God promises to do for the heirs of Abraham, the promise given to him. Now, later in the next chapter, we will hear how Joshua warns the people of their rebellious hearts, just like Moses did back in Deuteronomy before he died, encouraging the people of God to continue to walk in the instruction of the Lord. So in chapter 24, Joshua, like Moses, speaks to the people and says this, starting at verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." So this is Joshua 24, verses 14 through 16. Now here again, Joshua is encouraging the people of God to listen to the voice of Yahweh. and not to fall into temptation of listening to all the false voices of all the false spirits, the false gods, and the false teachers of the land. And the people confess and they say, yes, Yahweh is our God who took us out of Egypt, and we will listen to him. So now it's interesting that when Joshua writes this, this will become a testimony against the people, for the people will sin, and the people will turn away, just like Moses warned the people of God. Joshua will also instruct the people in the wickedness of their own hearts that is still tainted with sin in this fallen world. So starting at verse 19, we have the response of Joshua. But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you, after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." That's Joshua chapter 24, verses 19 through 24. So again, the written word is now given to the people of God, declaring to them all that the Lord has spoken, so that they can be careful not to turn to the right nor to the left. But it also gives a testimony of what the people have spoken, that they vow, make this promise, that they will not break covenant with the Lord their God. Now, when they do break covenant, this will be a witness against them. And so Joshua then makes this covenant with the people before their eyes, again, using the written word to instruct them. So starting at verse 25, we read this. "So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the Torah of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he has spoken to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God.'" So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. So again, this is Joshua chapter 24, verses 25 through 28. Here Joshua writes this word. He gives it to the people so it will bear testimony to what was spoken at this event. That God spoke to his people, the people of God heard this word, the people of God rejoiced and were glad in it, and they desired to hear it. Yet Joshua knows the condition of the sinful heart, that the people will not, and this will be a testimony against them when they sin. For the word of God, when it is given to his people, is both this blessing and this curse. It is a curse as it shows and reveals sin, and cursed is the one who breaks this covenant, but is a blessing for those who hear the word of the Lord and keep it, rejoice in it, cling to it, because in it there is forgiveness, mercy, and grace. In the instituted sacrificial system that the Lord will put into place, to remove sin and bestow his holiness. Now, the words of the prophets of old were written down for us so that we could remain in the word of the Lord. And by them we are warned again and again how it was the people of God who had the very written word, but yet neglected it, forgot it, rejected it, and looked for a different word. Yet these things are written so that we would not lose faith, but rather grow in our faith in the promises of God. We are taught about our constant need for the Lord's mercy and grace. All the words of the Old Testament scriptures were written to reveal to us that in Jesus alone is there salvation, deliverance from our own sin in our own sinful hearts. No matter how much we desire to follow God's word and to listen to what he says, we will fail and we will fall. But there is one who lifts us up, forgiving us, renewing us, and strengthening us with the word. There is salvation in no other name under heaven. There is no other way to the Father except through the Son. It is Jesus who is the one who comes after Moses, and he's the one we are to listen to. He's the one that leads us to the promised land. He is the way to the Father. He is the one with outstretched arms who says, "Come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, from Moses to Joshua, we have this written text that the people of God are to cling to, knowing that there will be one who will come that we are to listen to, the coming promised Messiah, the seed of Abraham, the seed that will crush the serpent's head. And so between this time of Joshua into the time period of the judges into the first king, we have the people of God entering into the promised land where the coming one will be incarnate in the flesh. But yet before this king comes to his own people and is rejected and crucified, Yahweh was already rejected by his people in the days of Samuel the prophet. So we look at the days of Samuel the prophet when the first king is put into place, which is Saul. And Saul is the one who is to listen to the word of the Lord and to hear his voice and to do all that he says and make sure that the people do. But yet with Saul, we learn that that king does not accomplish or bring the eternal kingdom of God. In fact, we go back to Moses and Joshua in the book of Exodus. For it's the Lord who's coming to bring his eternal kingdom, yet it's the kingdoms of the earth that do not want God's will to be done, who try to prevent this kingdom. And so one such king of the pagan world was Amalek. Amalek was one who tried to prevent God's kingdom from coming. So back in Exodus chapter 17, we have this account of a pagan king trying to stop God's kingdom. And so in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, we read, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." So this is Exodus 17, verses 8 through 10. So here again, just like when Pharaoh tried to prevent God's kingdom from coming, the Lord will stop Amalek. Starting at verse 11, we read the written account. "Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword." So we have this account of how this battle took place, that Moses takes the staff given by God, and as it is lifted up, it is the Lord who will fight this battle against Amalek. But as Moses grows weak and weary, then Aaron and Hur are to continue to raise up his arm to hold the staff up. And as long as the staff is up, Joshua defeats Amalek's armies. Now, after this battle is over, we have the account of the Lord then speaking to Moses. So in verse 14 we read, "Then Yahweh said to Moses, 'Write this as a memorial in a book, and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, The Lord is my banner, saying, A hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So this is Exodus chapter 17, and here you have Yahweh specifically telling Moses to write the account of this event, so that in a written form, the people of God would remember what took place. But likewise, you also have Moses reciting this into the ears of Joshua, so that the people would have Joshua speaking it to them and also have the written account, so that as the successor of Moses, Joshua is to proclaim what Moses taught, as Moses proclaimed what God gave to him. And so now Joshua would proclaim this to the people and hand on to them this written form so that they would not forget, but remember what took place. In fact, we have Moses addressing this once again in Deuteronomy chapter 25, where Moses is speaking to the people before his departure and saying this, Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary, and cut off your tail, those who were lagging behind you, and he did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies around you, in the land the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. So again, we see the significance of the written word for the instruction of the people of God, so that the people of God would retain God's word, that they would keep this word, that they would gladly hear and learn God's voice and not forget it. So as Moses wrote this down before, as the account tells us in Exodus 17, now Moses is writing this down in Deuteronomy 25, so that the people will remember. Remember that the memory of the name of Amalek will be wiped out from under heaven. And so Joshua, as a successor of Moses, is to proclaim this truth to the people and to encourage them to keep this word as they now dwell in the promised land. Later on, through that time period of the judges up to Samuel, we see how the people of God forgot the word of God. But yet the prophet Samuel was sent as a successor to the words of Moses to proclaim the same thing that Moses taught. And so Samuel himself is the prophet who anoints and puts Saul into office as the first king. And Samuel is the one who is to instruct Saul as king to hear the word of God, and not to move from the left or to the right, to add to or to subtract from it, but to take it and say yes and amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have this account of Samuel the prophet speaking to Saul the king. Starting at verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek, and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both men and women, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. So here the people are at rest, they're in the promised land, and now the prophet of the Lord is instructing the king, who is to retain the word of God, who is to listen to the voice of God, and to lead the people to follow after the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt. And so Samuel reminds Saul of what took place in the days of Joshua and Moses with King Amalek. And so Joshua was to give this word on, and now we have this successor, Samuel, after this time period of the judges, who will give this same word on. And so in verse 8, we read this, what took place in this battle between the new king, Saul, and the king of the Amalekites. So in verse 8, we read, "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fattened calves and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction." So this is 1 Samuel 15, verses 8 through 9. Here we learn that the actions of the king of Israel, which is Saul, is not in line with the word of God. Saul is not listening to the voice of the Lord. He is listening to his own wisdom and his own thoughts, and he does not do what the Lord told him to do. Now immediately, Samuel the prophet knows of this because the Lord reveals it to him. So in verse 10 of the same chapter in 1 Samuel 15, we read, "The word of Yahweh came to Samuel, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments.' And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night." So this is 1 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 11. Now again, we learn the significance of this written word. Moses spoke this word to Joshua. They wrote it down. Moses spoke this word to the people of Israel, and he wrote it down again in the book of Deuteronomy. Joshua would speak this word to the people, and he would give to them this copy of this written word. Samuel would speak this same word, and Samuel would teach the king to listen to the voice of God. Yet Saul refuses to hear and heed God's word. But what's striking in this text is in the very next verse, the response of Saul in defense of what he did. And so in verse 13, we read this, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord.' And Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and lowing of the oxen that I hear?'" So this is 1 Samuel verses 13 through 14 in the same chapter. Now again, we learn about the significance of the written word. Here Saul is taking his own interpretation of the word, claiming to be right in the Lord's sight, declaring that he has done exactly what the Lord has said to do. But yet we have the written word that Moses handed down through Joshua and the prophets and with the Levitical priests. And so we can testify this word that's written versus the word of Saul. And of course, Samuel the prophet has the revealed word from the Lord that this is not the case at all. For Saul did not do what the Lord had said. And so in verse 18 we read, "And the Lord sent you on a mission and said," so this is Samuel talking, "'Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said to Samuel, 'I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction.'" So this is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. Now again, notice how Saul is trying to justify his actions, saying that he has done what the Lord says, because the Lord declared that he should sacrifice, and that is exactly what Saul has done. In fact, Saul will argue that he has left some of these animals for an even bigger sacrifice in celebration of the victory that the Lord has granted. And then the response of Samuel to this is striking. This is where Samuel says in verse 22, And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." So again, this is from the same chapter, verses 22 through 23. See, in this passage, Saul will justify himself and say, "I know that the Lord tells us to have sacrifices, and sacrifices are good. And so what I want to do is I want to have a special sacrifice." And so Saul thinks that he's obeying the voice of the Lord. But yet, when you compare that to the written word itself describes the type of sacrifices the Lord desires. The sacrifice is instituted by him through the Levitical priesthood, in which he has given a promise that he would remove sin and bestow holiness. That the Lord himself desired that Saul would listen and would devote everything to destruction, including the king himself, wiping out the memory of Amalek from the face of the earth. And so here we learn the significance of the people of God refusing to learn God's word, rejecting the written word, refusing to hear and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in that voice of God. And so that Saul thinks that he's doing right by doing sacrifice, but the written word itself gives us an account that he did not. He did not listen to what the Lord has said. So that all these things written down for us are written down for our instruction, that we would gladly hear and learn what the Lord says. Where King Saul failed to listen to the voice of God, Samuel the prophet then took matters into his own hand. Obeying the voice of the Lord, he took the sword and he put to death King Agag, fulfilling what the Lord had declared to do, to devote to destruction all, so that the name of Amalek would be wiped out from under the heavens. Now later in Psalm 40, we have a commentary on this. So in this psalm, David reflects on such an event about how we are to listen to the voice of God. And David writes in Psalm 40, verse 6, saying, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Now these are the words of Psalm 40, verses 6 and 8. And so David writes this in reflection on this passage, or this event that took place with King Saul. Now David himself will not be the king that ushers in the eternal kingdom. For David himself will sin and will fail to do all that the Lord has said. But instead, it is the son of David who will come to bring in the kingdom. So that actually these words in Psalm 40 are the words upon the lips of Jesus, as Hebrews chapter 10 tells us. That it's Jesus speaking and Jesus himself declaring that he has come as in the scroll that has been written of him. So that here Jesus declares that the written word is about him. For these words are written about Jesus, who says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." And in Hebrews chapter 10, the author says, "He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Jesus is the king who defeats all other kings who try to hinder and prevent God's kingdom from coming.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening. And may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.